Good morning, and welcome to worship with First Baptist Church Ann Arbor. We welcome those of you in the room. We welcome those of you who are joining us online at this moment or later. We're all partners together in the good work of worship and the pleasures of it. Thanks to you all for enriching it by your own personal presence. Just two announcements today. First, we are continuing a new series of adult formation classes that are all about the hymns of our faith and what it means to be a singing church. We had the best discussion last week. We continue today, and I invite all adults to join us in the lounge for that good work beginning at 11:30. Also, our college students, as most of you know, meet every Wednesday night in what we call the gathering. Most often, we get to enjoy great home-cooked meals offered by various people in this congregation. At the moment, though we have been treated every Wednesday of this semester by some of you preparing food and bringing it, there are spaces, plenty of them, wide open, including this very Wednesday. And we invite those of you who will to consider preparing such a meal. And if you don't, you could give money to help purchase one, as we sometimes do. There's sign up for that out in the hallway near where I'll be standing. Give it some consideration. It's a great gift that many of us can give. And now, dear friends, our call to worship is offered together responsively. Would you join me, please? After he was baptized, Jesus went alone to the wilderness where he was tested. Let us follow him into the wilderness to face our fears, our weaknesses, our temptations.
Let us worship, seeking the Spirit as our guide, and remaining in the way to our truest freedom.
stand as you are able. Please pray with me. Loving God, thank you for bringing us together in this space today to worship and praise you. We pray that you would open our hearts and minds to what we will experience today through song and spoken word, and we will open ourselves to your wisdom and healing power. In your name we pray. Amen. Responsive song. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, for you are my faith all day long.
You may be seated. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. The word of the Lord.
Children, I invite you to come forward. Come join me. Squeeze between you. Good morning. Do you remember last Sunday? We talked about these two gentlemen, Mr. Hogan and Dr. Brown Jr. We talked about how they were composers, how they had arranged spirituals. We talked about how spirituals are songs that were sung by those who were enslaved in our country hundreds of years ago. And we, the adults, are learning about hymns that we sing here at church when they have like Sunday school time together after church. And so we're also learning about songs we sing here at church. And we're about to learn a new congregational song. That's the song we sing when we're coming up for time as children. And the song we're going to sing now is also a spiritual. We don't know who composed it. We don't know who wrote it or who made the tune for how to sing the notes. We don't know that. But it's important to honor and celebrate those who made these songs because we sing spirituals all the time. We don't know the face or the name that went with the composer of this song that we're about to sing. So we here at church decided we're going to make a donation. To make a donation because we can't pay those who made the song, who composed the song, like we pay these gentlemen when we sing their music, the choir sings their music. So we made a donation to Black children and teenagers who are learning music in a scholarship because we think it's important to honor those who made these songs, these spirituals that we sing. So I want to teach you the words of this spiritual we're going to sing today. It's about Jesus and about our hearts. Can you show me with your hands how you might make a heart with your hand?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Good.
This song is about our heart looking like and sounding like and being like Jesus' heart. So we would love like Jesus loves. So the words repeat. It says, Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. Let's see how we do Jesus' name. This is how we do Jesus' name. Representing, yeah, Jesus. So we're going to sing, Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. And then we're going to make our hands like a heart. In my heart, we say it many times. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. I wonder if then you could make a heart with somebody sitting next to you. Can we do that together? Oh, we did it. See if you can do it. Make a heart together? Yeah, it's kind of tricky. Good. All right, let's sing that song. Miss Shanae is going to play with us, and we'll sing that song. And this will be the song all during Lent while we have all our purple up, our time of getting ready for the mystery of Easter. We'll sing this song together as we come up for time as children so we get it in our hearts and in our minds. Let's sing it all together now. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. Yeah, we're going to start with Jesus. There we go. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. See if you can make it with somebody else. Lord, we want to be like Jesus in our hearts. We thank you for these spirituals, these songs of our faith and our story. We honor the mistakes in our story. Help us to love like you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Let's head to church school together. Come this way. Let's walk down the stairs. Let's walk down the stairs. Let's walk down. Thank you, Ivy. Down. We're going to walk down the stairs so we don't sprain our ankle. Yeah, good. Good, good, good.
pray with me? Dearest God, God of all people, we thank and praise you for the miracles of this day.
Good. Oh, yeah, you do.
And for the love that we share. We know the majesty and glory of your name embraces the earth and fills the heavens and gives us grace and purpose to move evermore in your ways towards your light, to be the light. All knowledge, all wisdom, all purpose in life comes from you, O God. In the best of times, when we depend on the wonder of your forgiveness and grace, we know this to be true. In troublesome times, we try to run ahead to make our own way in this world. We forget your assurances, your divine presence, undeviating support. Help us to recognize us for what we are, Lord, when we feel imperfect or alone in your wilderness, needing so much more than we know. Dearest Lord, we pray that you guide us when we're feeling so sad or alone, feeling unsupported or unworthy of your love. Help us to know and truly believe that we are worthy of your forgiveness, your love, the love and kindness of others. Help us to be more loving, more kind, and more supportive to others as well. Help us in this way, O Lord, to so live our lives in your presence that every thought that we think is guided by the Holy Spirit, informed by your ultimate forgiveness. Let us follow your example so we can be the example that we wish we were and deserve to be. We ask your blessings for this, our First Baptist Church, so that we may continue to worship you and learn how we can best be servants through you for our fellow peoples. We ask that you bless each person here today and that blessing furthers your work in our community and all communities. Lord, we pray for the world, for the peoples of the world, for children everywhere, that their childhoods honor you. We pray for those hard-hearted and power-hungry that they may see a new version of themselves and their desires through you. Lord, we pray for the helpers of this world, big and small, that their efforts are amplified through and with you. Let us recognize the help we ourselves need and accept it willingly, despite any imperfections or shame. We pray for all who have died in the hope of the resurrection and for all the departed. Let their memories sustain us so we can continue living for and with them as we wander through this wilderness, this gift of life. We offer now our special prayers for these. We pray for Harvey, Phyllis, the family of Essie Slaughter. We also pray for David Gregg, Esther Floyd, Joyce Robbins, Marlene Francis, Eva Kelly, Jill Damon, Betty Gerstler, Marilyn Marsh, Mervyn Charts, Mike Kelly, Mari Francia, Beth Granberry, Lovely Vargas, Grange Birdside, the Sanford family, Simona Butler, John Rowe, and Faye Key. And now in silence, we lift these names to the Lord, that they may be recognized and blessed in your name. We offer you these in all names, knowing that your wisdom and love is for all of us, everywhere, for all time, in your holy name. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you're able, will you please stand for the reading of the Gospel? From the Gospel of Mark. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. The word of the Lord. There have been many paintings made of Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by the devil, and I don't much care for any of them. Most of them. Generally, they depict the devil harassing Jesus, who gestures the devil away, and often there are angels depicted too, ready to minister to Jesus. And I just can't connect. But one painting of the scene is different for me. In 1872, the Russian artist Ivan Kranskoy gave his take on the story. In his painting, there is no devil, no angels. Jesus is in the foreground, sitting on a big rock among sharp stones. He's bent forward with a grim, tortured, exhausted face. His eyes are just half open and focused on nothing. Clearly, he is in mental agony. At the center of the painting are his hands, and they are clenched tightly together, as if some struggle of feeling is going on in him. Behind him, we see this vast stretch of wilderness, and above it, a sky that has the colors of dawn. He seems to have been at it all night. Or maybe the promise of dawn is to say that from such a struggle will finally emerge something new. In a letter to a friend, Kranskoy said of the painting, "It is about the life of every person." It does depict something that sooner or later most of us go through, the inner struggle over life choices that are very large, the back and forth between sometimes agonizing choices. The struggle for which commitments, for how to do our relationships, for what actions need now to be taken. Such choices have consequences that can be lifelong for us. Not just for us, but for others. Three of our four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all want to make sure we know that before Jesus' ministry begins, he had to make some choices under pressure, and an evil voice was part of it. We use the word when discussing this ordeal, temptation. But the better translation of the original word is tested. Jesus, for a very long time, was tested. Now, two of those Gospels, Matthew and Luke, want to give us particulars of his tests. The devil makes three suggestions. Each time, Jesus says no, each time quoting scripture. But Mark feels no need at all to report any specifics, gives just the bare fact that Jesus in the desert was tested by Satan. This brings it at least a little bit closer to us. For the bare fact that he was tested lets us identify, because we are, all of us, tested. And though what's at stake in ours is nothing compared to his, what's at stake in ours can be pretty high. The whole business can actually be a very good thing, a necessary and holy thing. You notice the testing of Jesus happens on a foundation of blessing. He's just been baptized at the river, where he heard a voice from heaven, "You are my beloved. In you I take delight." Mark says, immediately after, the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tested. Incidentally, that word for wilderness means literally empty. Empty space. So Jesus could say in literal terms what many of us could say in spiritual terms: God drove me to emptiness. God called me beloved, then took me to a struggle. Let's be honest. God not only refuses to shelter us from testing, but may even move us toward it. We are not meant for smooth sailing. We are born for challenges and for hard choices to clarify and grow us up. Let it be noted that Jesus faces his testing with nothing. He enters undefended, unprovisioned, completely vulnerable. He has walked away from society, walked away from busyness and other people's company, because sometimes you really do have to face your demons alone. For 40 days, he doesn't even eat, because he knows he cannot struggle to reach his hardest and bravest decisions on a full belly. He can say, again, in literal terms, what many of us can say in spiritual terms, to be true of ourselves: I am in an empty place, and I am empty. To such emptiness, all he's got left are his bodily needs and also his memories, his imaginings and concerns, and his prayers, and the voices that are in his head. One of those voices belongs to Satan, and another is an echo of the voice he'd heard at the river: "You're my beloved." And there are other remembered voices, I hope, from the communities that he'd been part of, and voices, thank God, of the scriptures that he had by heart. But insinuating themselves through all of these may also have been voices of falsehood, panic, anxiety, self-regard, self-pity, thoughts of achieving worthy outcomes in unworthy ways, These and other satanic options were real. And isn't it interesting how these false voices so often get mixed into our truest ones? And how some of our most dangerous inclinations are disguised as good ones. In the end, it all came down to the question, who are you going to be? The three tests described in Matthew and Luke are all getting at that. Turn these stones to bread. Will I be a person all about survival? Okay, then use religion. Leap from the temple so God will bear you up and everybody will believe. Will I be a person who seeks to impress and presumes that God is at my disposal? All right, but you do want the kingdom of God on earth, don't you? Well, bring it. Rule the world with justice, goodness, peace. In all nations, they are mine to give. Just give an acknowledgement with a bow, that's all. Then go and make the world good. Will I be a person who wields power, authority, control, even at the selling of my soul? Saying no to all of these, by the way, was his refusal of the chief commitments of the powers that be in his time and in our own. Look first to your own survival. Co-opt God for the masses when you can, and take power by any means you can. Now, the test put to us today may be not the same at all as the ones put to him, but much of it will amount to what to do with the power we have, and we do have more power than most of us admit. And every time we are tested, the question ultimately is, who are we going to be? We have options. We can be pretty much exactly what Jesus was told to be self-regarding, manipulative, coercive, controlling, impatient, grasping for control, success, power, to do what we think of as good, but to do it in ways that are cheap and that cost us nothing. Likewise, we can take the option of being deeply cynical, passive, practitioners of self-pity or self-loathing. We can choose to be people who hold all the right opinions but don't get around to acting on them. Or, on being tested by difficult circumstances, tested by other people's bad choices, tested by awful events in the world, tested by pain in our relationships, in any or all or more such testing, We at the end are being asked, who are we going to be? And we may answer, we are going to be people who are generous in spirit and in action. We are going to be people who take risks for love's sake. We are going to be people with more faithful imaginations for how our world could be better and what we might do to help it be so. We are going to be people who nurture strong bonds of friendships, old ones and new. We are going to be people who do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. Whatever testings we face, these can be the outcome. Now for Jesus, all of this passed in a time and place of emptiness, as may also happen with us. For us, it may come in the emptiness of knowing that we are people who fail and are deeply flawed. Empty. But Mark says Jesus was not as alone as an empty place might suggest. Mark adds that in the wilderness, Jesus was with the wild beasts. Jesus was tested where the wild things are. What should we make of that? As he looks out into the dark night in the desert, does he see their yellow eyes gleaming, drawing nearer? Are they an added feature concerning how at risk he is out there? Or are they a sign, as I hope they are, that his utter openness to God and to the freedom of his choices make him also one with all creation? The animals were there, and in the end, so were those angels, come to give him some care. The place of emptiness turned out to be filled, crowded, crawling with beasts and teeming with angels. What looked to be an empty, scary experience turns out to be full of tender mercy, provision, unforeseen companionship, kindness, and a clarified purpose. Our own times of emptiness may be filled with such gifts, just not yet fully seen. Maybe the company of beasts and angels felt to him like confirmation of the word he had heard at the river, beloved. But the truth is that the testing he'd gone through and his triumph in it was also founded on that word, beloved. And so with us, that is the answer to the question of who are we going to be? We are going to be people who know we are beloved, and that all are beloved, and that we are here to live the truth of that.
Thank you.
We have possessions, we have money, we have our lives, this present day, and we have whatever future the grace of God should give. This being so, this being true of how rich in blessing we are, let us make return of these gifts as we are able. Do so with joy and in faith. Holy God, all that we are able to give of what we have possessed and of who we have been and who we can yet become, we lift to the light of your grace. Use them all, we pray, for the eternal purposes of your love, now and forever. Amen. Friends, now let us greet each other with the best of gifts. May the peace of Christ be with you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's own face shine upon you and give you every grace. Grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to give something big for something good. Grace to know that the world is now too small for anything but love and too dangerous for anything but truth. So may Christ take your minds and think through them. May Christ take your lips and speak through them. May Christ take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.